Welcome to The Real Estate Guys. I'm your host, Robert Helms, and happy new year. With the brand new year, there's all kinds of new opportunity. Today on the show, we're going to focus on some of the top trends experts are predicting for 2020 on The Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Terry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show now in our 23rd year of broadcasting. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, our financial strategist, co-host Russell Bay.
Hey, Robert.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Crazy time, a great time, an interesting time. And at the beginning of the year, as we talked about last week, our last show of the decade, is really the time to start thinking about what you want the coming year and years to look like. Many times in our past, we have either done a predictions panel where we've talked to a lot of folks in the housing and real estate markets to find out where their mind's at, or we've done experts from different markets calling in. This year, what we thought we'd talk about is some of the big changes that are happening that affect real estate. And so we're calling this our top trend show, things to be on the lookout for. And big picture is real estate markets are diverse and always changing. On the demand side, the way that people interact and use real estate is essentially the same, but nuances change, and that creates opportunity for investors. On the supply side, we have whatever we have built this moment, and then we have plans that developers and builders have to put more inventory into the ground. So big picture is, and we've been talking about this for over a decade, back at the last housing crash, when things went off the rails and values went down and number of sales went down, and it was ugly for lots of folks, us included. When that happened, an interesting article came out that said to prepare for the coming housing shortage. At that time, nobody could even imagine there would be a housing shortage because we had this glut of inventory. But we spent a lot of time, I remember that article appearing in many of our workbooks at our events, because it was such a contrarian point of view on one hand, but the logic was super sound. And it was that houses and apartments and commercial buildings age out. They become replaceable, and what we call Class C, highest and best interim use, meaning there's an opportunity to scrape and start over. And based on population increasing, we still see that we are underbuilt. So one of the big things we have to think about is that there's more people coming, and they're going to need places to live and work and relax and vacation and all of that. So how that fits into any one year depends on a lot of factors. So before I toss it to Russ, Realtor.com comes out every year with their housing market predictions, and here's what they're looking for. Now, remember, Realtor.com is single-family houses, and their market are basically people that buy homes to live in. Much of the media, when they talk about housing, that's what they're talking about. Now, you may invest in houses that you rent out, Those aren't houses that you live in, but sometimes in the same neighborhoods. But many of our listeners invest in other types of asset classes. We'll talk about lots of those today. But just so everyone knows, that NAR is calling for 0.8% growth in home prices. That's across the board. That's less than average. And a decrease of 1.8% in existing home sales. So less number of sales for a variety of reasons, we'll get into that, and only a modest growth in price. So if we stopped right there, you might say, well, that doesn't sound like a great real estate market to be in, but we're not going to stop right there. We have a whole show. Now, there's one other offset, which is according to NAR, and these are just their projections and predictions, there will be a 6% jump in single-family housing starts. And they specifically have talked about some neighborhoods they see rising and declining, which we'll get to in a minute. But that's big picture, is that we see demand persistent, not a huge growth across the board. And to me, that means most of the opportunities are going to come in niches.
Yeah. So I think still staying big picture, you know, when it really comes down to trying to figure out a trend, at least when it comes to real estate, you're looking at kind of two basic things. And it is supply and demand. But inside of that demand, it's the flow of people and the flow of money. And if you can figure out where the people and the money are flowing, then you're going to catch an uptrend. You're going to catch a wave you can ride. And if on the flip side, if you can recognize an outflow of people and an outflow of money, then you can avoid by maybe getting out early or waiting until there's a bargain. When the thing troughs out, you can kind of step in. When someone takes a contrarian position, like you mentioned, Robert, in that article from 10 years ago, all they were doing was looking at the big picture while everybody had their nose, you know, up close against the problem and couldn't see the big picture. The overall trend is that population grows, and the persistent forever trend is that people are going to need places to live, to work, to recreate, to conduct their business or shopping or do whatever it is they do. Now, inside of that, there are obviously trends, and some of them are bigger trends, like the move towards internet shopping and people ordering and, you know, the increase in warehousing and less in retail shopping. But even inside that, there's strategies. So there's a lot of different things that factor in. And the other thing, the other caveat to consider as you're listening to all of this is when you're talking big picture, you're talking about averages and macro trends, and none of us invest based on averages or macro trends. It's all really just to give you the context for what's going on in your particular marketplace, because ultimately real estate remains, whatever kind of real estate you're buying, it remains very regional, very local, and it may or may not be driven by the local economy, but it's always driven by local factors.
Such a great point. That is exactly the context we want to start with, is looking at the overall trends, but then getting very specific because all real estate is local. So in terms of big picture, still a couple of things. On the mortgage side, which is a big part of the demand, you know, we talk about demand being not just somebody wanting a property, but having capacity to pay. Mortgage rates, according to pretty much everybody that we've followed, are going to be fairly consistent this year. Nobody's predicting a huge rise in interest rates, and I don't think interest rates can come back, you know, too much lower. So interest rates should be consistent. There are a couple of predictions out there about more ability to qualify as we see different loan products and things based on, you know, what's happening in the market and broader picture economics. But overall, mortgage rates will remain low. That's good for a couple of reasons. Obviously, to acquire property with leverage, you'd like to see low interest rates. And if you already have property and you have higher interest rates, maybe your properties have better profiles today. Maybe you have improved from a financial and a credit scoring position, and maybe you can acquire some good debt, some good mortgage rate financing, and rates will remain low. So that's kind of big picture. Now, another thing Realtor.com likes to do, and it's run by the National Association of Realtors, so they obviously have a bent, and you always want to consider the source, is they rank markets that they see have a potential increase in growth. When we say growth, they rank according to two different things, and this you have to get your mind around. The first is sales growth. Will there be more sales in a marketplace? Will the number of units sold increase? And the second is price growth. Now, you'd like to be in a market that has both. Their number one market in terms of their projection is a market that has only 0.3% growth in sales projected, but 8.1% projected in price growth. So before I tell you that market, which I will, I'm just going to tease you on it, but I want you to think about this. A market that's going to have price growth, but not a corresponding growth in the number of sales, is different than a market that had, say, 4% expected price growth and 4% expected sales growth. Right? Okay, well, there's going to be more units for sale and they're going to sell at a higher price. Well, in this case, this market isn't going to have a huge increase in the number of sales, according to NAR, but is going to have a big price growth. That's not just because prices are going up. That's certainly part of it. When you have a constricted market and there's just not that much inventory and people are staying in their homes longer, which they are, and we'll talk about why in a minute, and then you see there's demand, well, then price goes up. But the other thing that happens is sometimes the actual properties that trade are on the higher side of the scale. So even from a median perspective, that drives the median price up, also would drive the average price up, two different metrics. So that market is Boise, Idaho. We talked about Boise, Idaho just a couple of weeks back when we had Steve Olson on the program, and it's a market that's worked out very well for the build-to-rent, another trend we'll talk about today. Other markets that are in the top 10 include Tucson, Arizona, Columbia, South Carolina, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Memphis, Tennessee. And there's more, and you can look all that up. But that's just an idea of where Realtor.com sees some of the upside. They also pointed out predicting a decline in certain areas, and the decline in both sales prices and number of sales. Those markets include Chicago, Dallas, Las Vegas, Miami, and San Francisco. All markets that have performed very well in the last few years. So when you get to a really high-priced market, like in the Bay Area, San Francisco, then you're going to see there comes a point when people just cannot pay. That demand side, that capacity to pay gets affected. We've seen that in New York for the last couple of years. So you want to be thinking about your markets in terms of that. In fact, one of the things that they pointed out was another trend we'll talk about, and that is if you look at what all those markets have in common, they are generally markets that are affordable. 7 of the 10 markets that are on the list from NAR are below median price, and some substantially. And that would make sense. An affordable market works for investors because we can usually invest at a good gross rent multiplier. But it also works for folks who are up-and-coming renters to be owners. They want to own in a marketplace. Most first-time buyers don't buy in San Francisco. They buy in some of these affordable markets. So one of the trends for the new year is an increase in both new inventory and prices in these affordable markets.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for quite some time because it always happens this way. When real estate gets hot, and it gets hot for different reasons, as an asset class, if you will, and again, we don't really consider it an asset class, but when people are looking at where they can deploy their money, real estate ends up attracting money. And usually it attracts it through the mortgage channel, and then it gets dispensed to buyers who then use it to purchase properties. And there's a lot of reasons why that happens. It's a metric that politicians use to gauge their success, and that home ownership is important to them and their voters. Home prices are important. And so they have to keep the thing moving and money flowing into it. That's why you see so much emphasis on subsidizing mortgages and making mortgage money available. But ultimately, that ends up having an effect of prices going up. And incomes, they have a harder time getting the money to get to the income. They can't give people higher incomes as easily as they can give them lower interest rates. Now, they're having a hard time doing both. And it doesn't surprise me that Realtor.com is saying, hey, it looks like things are going to be kind of stable, kind of across the board. But when you parse that out, you're going to see a decrease in the more expensive areas and an increase in the more affordable areas. Well, that's a natural thing that happens. People and businesses are going to go where they can get more bang for their buck as long as they can. You add to that some things that are going on in society. You've got the demographics of baby boomers who are, you know, maybe retired or living off portfolio income, and they don't need to live in the expensive area anymore. Maybe they want to cash out the equity in that big expensive house and move to a more affordable market. So you get some of that going on. You've got millennials who just can't even play in any of those markets, and they just head off to an affordable market and start a whole new life. And so you've got some of that going on. You've got the information age where people are able to work remotely and they can commute more easily, telecommute more easily. And so you've got a little bit of that going on. So you've got these different factors that are affecting, just on the residential side, the ability of people to move around. And so I think you're going to continue to see that happening as people are trying to find a way to enjoy that American dream, that middle-class lifestyle, if you will, when the economy is not still quite there for them. The way the stimuluses have worked in the past is they put a lot of equity on the balance sheet of investors that own assets that appreciate as a result of the new money, things like stocks, bonds, real estate, things like that. If you don't have that and you're just trying to make it paycheck to paycheck and lever that income in through a mortgage into a lifestyle where you get a home and a nice car, you got to go someplace where it's more affordable.
Yeah, all excellent points. Now, before we leave single family housing, because again, a lot of our listeners do invest in single family housing, more from a rental perspective, obviously, but most of us also live in houses and own houses. So we kind of want to know where the big picture is going there. A couple more points on the curve. You know, NAR said that the offset of the decrease in demand in some areas is that there'll be new housing starts. In fact, according to Fannie Mae's Economic and Strategic Research Group, new home starts will jump from a 1% increase in 2019 to nearly 10% in 2020, which means that there is a pent-up demand for single-family houses. Part of it is based on population growth in some of the areas that we've talked about, so you'd want to be real strategic in thinking about which markets are going to benefit from that, and that's fun to research and easy to find out. And then the second thing about it is that you've got people that are first-time buyers that you don't generally think of as buying new homes, but many of the builders are strategically building new inventory with financing packages that appeal to these people. Now, again, big picture is we have increasing population and we have a lot of inventory that is old, and much of that is going to be taken off the board so some of this new inventory can come up. In fact, they say, Fannie Mae, that they expect more than 1 million new homes in 2021. So this is definitely an increase from their previous predictions, but that's pretty bullish. A lot of new home starts in 2020, a lot of new home starts in 2021. Now, one more thing about single family, there's a broker in New Jersey, Susan Massa, who does a lot of research on this, and she has looked at some data that is showing that today's homeowners are staying in their homes longer, up to 5 years longer than they were 10 years ago. So a big part of that, she says, is largely due to baby boomers that are opting to remain in their existing home instead of downsizing, just because it's the bird in the hand and it's likely paid off or has a very low interest rate and not a lot of payments remaining. And so we generally think about baby boomers being empty nesters and wanting to relocate, and a lot of them do, but there is a bigger chunk than there has been in the past deciding to stay put. Some of that's because of political uncertainty, economic uncertainty. Some's just ease of not wanting to move and pack up and all that stuff.
And then it's also hard to get those some of those millennials out of the house, you know. So you're empty nest age, but you're not empty nest circumstance. And even if you get them out, you maybe got that boomerang thing where they go and they come back again.
Absolutely.
So, and that's not a slight against them. I mean, it's just a different world, and it's harder to launch. It just is. And so I think that probably factors in a little bit too.
We're talking about the top trends for 2020 when it comes to real estate. When we come back, we'll start talking about some investment niches that could make a lot of sense. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, January 17th to 19th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track, physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2020 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
If you want to learn how you could potentially increase your net worth by over $1 million and quit your job in just a few short years, listen closely for the next 60 seconds. This is Brad Sumrock, and over the past 16 years, I've helped thousands of people invest profitably in real estate, but not just any type of real estate. I specialize in helping people syndicate large apartment buildings so that they can be business owners and investors. And with the new Trump tax laws, apartment investors are positioned now better than ever before to pay even less in taxes. To find out more, send an email to apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com and you'll get my recent presentation called Why Apartments Now. That's apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Chris Martinson, author of Prosper, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show, heard every weekend on this fabulous radio station and all the time at realestateguysradio.com and your favorite podcast outlets. Thanks to all our amazing listeners for spreading the word about The Real Estate Guys and continuing our upward trajectory with millions and millions of downloads. It's the most humbling thing in the world, and we appreciate you guys. It's the start of a new year. We're talking about trends for 2020, and I think it's time to get specific on some of the trends that might make sense for investors. Certainly not to take anything away from investing in single-family houses. If you like that and are good at that and know about that, awesome. But I think there's some other trends that make sense. And one that we've been talking about for some time has a lot of legs left and upside in the coming years, and that is senior housing.
Well, the demographics are undeniable. And you look at how powerful the baby boomer generation was moving through all phases of their economic life, and now they're entering their senior season, if you will, and their needs continue to be there. So healthcare has been a booming industry, largely catering to seniors, and senior housing and anything related to seniors is going to probably be pretty solid for the next couple of decades, because you've got boomers that are 60s, 70s, they're living into their 80s and their 90s, and you get to a season in life where you need special accommodations. You need some special assistance. And, our good friend Gene Guarino has been a pioneer in this area, on the single family home side, making senior housing available as an investment to the mom and pop investor. So you don't have to go through a REIT and be part of one of these big boxes, but you can do something a little bit more down at the Main Street level. And so through him, we've learned a lot about this space, and it's still a very, very exciting segment of the real estate industry.
Well, it is. And there's lots of levels, lots of places to play. Everything from the 55 and older communities. Now, I don't know if I consider that senior housing, but it certainly is age-restricted housing, and it is booming in a lot of areas. And this has to do with folks that do decide at that baby boom age that they want to relocate, maybe to someplace sunnier, maybe to someplace with more amenities, maybe to someplace that's less expensive. Who knows what it is, but there's certainly that age. And then you get to the things you were talking about, like when folks need more help, assisted living, residential assisted living has been a great, strong niche, will continue to be, it looks like. Beyond that, you do have some of the nursing and skilled nursing and memory care and all kinds of areas of senior housing. So I would say that that's a trend to continue to watch and figure out where there may be an opportunity to play.
Again, it goes back to what's going on in the local market and demographics. And this is where, if you choose to get involved in any real estate, and it's senior or anything else, you want to plug in. You want to follow the thought leaders. You want to understand what they're saying. You want to get into the market at the street level, put yourself in the role of the consumer, and go around and take a look at what's there, what's missing, where you think there's opportunity. You know, it's like just in the old days when we used to go around and do the field trips, and if you drove around a neighborhood and you saw a bunch of for rent signs and for sale signs and free move in and bonuses and free rent and all that kind of stuff, it told you that there was some weakness in the market. And conversely, if you saw long waiting lists and rental increases and you didn't see a lot of signs or none at all, then that told you this is a pretty well-absorbed market. There's some demand here that's exceeding supply. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize these signs in whatever niche you're taking a look at, but learn what they are from people who are in the space and then go out there and do your homework.
If it sounds intriguing and specifically you'd like to know how to be a passive or active investor in residential assisted living, you can send an email to ALF, A-L-F, Assisted Living Facility at realestateguysradio.com, ALF at realestateguysradio.com. You get connected to some great content from Gene Guarino. Now, some overlap when it comes to seniors is, let's talk multifamily. Multifamily has been huge in terms of demand for many years, and that's been both good and bad. And the bad part is it means we've had a lot of money chasing a particular set of assets that are increasing. There are more apartment buildings being built, but those are already usually funded by REITs and big companies and syndicators. And so there has been a demand for multifamily on the tenant side and on the investor side. And on the investor side, the demand has meant a decrease in return. Cap rates have been driven down. More money chasing the same amount of income means the price gets bid up. The income stays the same, so the return is less. Well, we expect continued strong demand for multifamily for all the reasons that it's been a great performing sector because of the tenant demand side and because of the efficiencies when it comes to running these types of units. I think what we're looking for in 2020 is some specialty niches in multifamily, and we're starting to see affordable senior multifamily. So a couple of these developers that are putting these 55 and over apartment campuses. Now, sometimes they're high rises because folks who can afford more will like the amenities and elevators and decks and all that kind of stuff. But many times it's on the other side. So there's continuing to be ground up development and demand, but we're seeing a change here. There's been some unique market types. One of the trends you were talking about, Russ, the millennials, as we study the way that millennials, and not just millennials, but the nomadic workers are working today, where they aren't necessarily getting up in the morning and driving to an office, they can work from home and so forth, is we're starting to see developers build up micro apartments, small apartments that cater to younger tenants, usually fairly affordable, sometimes in city centers with unique amenities like shared space, a workspace. We saw what happened with the rise and now kind of the fall of WeWork, but we've been involved with those types of properties for many, many years before WeWork was a thing, and that is kind of the shared office space. And it allows you to not have necessarily a 24-hour office access, but when you need to have a meeting or you need to go in and to get some work done, there's these kinds of spaces that are popping up. In fact, our travel agents that help us every year with the Investor Summit at Sea have just moved from a retail strip center into one of these shared work environments, and they are loving it. Now, they do have their own space. It's about a third of the size of the space they used to have, but plenty of room for them to get work done. But what they've added is all these community spaces. We went and had our most recent meeting there, and it's a beautiful big conference area, open, lots of amenities. And apartment owners and builders and developers are thinking about this too. So they've discovered that the use pattern for younger folks, and we'll just call them millennials, it's just anybody who's early in their economic stage, is they don't need a ton of space. They don't need 900 square feet, right? Average B-class apartment is probably 850 square feet. A lot of these folks are happy with 500 square feet or 350 square feet. Think tiny homes all strung together. That's an interesting trend.
Yeah, and if you think about it too, there is also the opportunity for people of any age and any economic positioning to be an entrepreneur. It's never been easier, really, because capital is relatively inexpensive. There's all kinds of software and tools available, very inexpensive. There's all kinds of training readily available because of the way information has been gathered and cataloged on the internet. So in many ways, you know, this rise of the gig economy is going to grow to be a lot more than just renting out my car or my extra bedroom and things like that. But it's actually going to be people who kind of get hooked on this idea that they don't have to have a boss, they don't have to go to work someplace, and they just want to, you know, run a small business, and they can do that. And so it doesn't really matter what age you're at. Once you've kind of bought off on that lifestyle, facilities like this can be a godsend because you can have all of the amenities of a big, nice facility for a fraction of the cost. And that's the appeal. The only caveat I'd make, and this is true of any type of a niche property, if you get into a property that is really use specific or maybe trend specific, and then that trend or use changes for whatever reason, all of a sudden you get this property that's really hard to repurpose. You know, you remember the little restaurants at where they used to put the old Taco Bells, and you remember they were just single use buildings. They were looked like a little adobe house, and it was great if you were going to, you know, run a taco stand or a Mexican restaurant, but it wasn't really of much use for anything else. And, you know, you could go on and on and on thinking of examples like that.
Right. What's that famous donut place that they always show in all the movies that has the big giant donut on top of it? Well, if they go out of business, I don't know who else is going to go in there. Maybe a bagel company.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember specifically one of those old Taco Bells went out of business. It sat empty for 3 years, and finally they opened a brand new business, which was a local taco company. So it's a great point. If you look today at fast food restaurants and just erase the brand banner, they pretty much all function the same. And that's a shift. It didn't used to be like that. And so I think you make a great point, Russ, which is anytime you're investing on the trend, you want to make sure it's a trend that has some longevity into it. And I think that's one of the things that is a negative about this type of investing. But the other side of it is, as developers and builders are creating this type of inventory, there will be people that absolutely want to move there and live there, which may create vacancy in some of the other apartment type spaces, which may create an opportunity for new investors to come in and not overpay. So we'll keep our eyes on multifamily, but we expect multifamily to be strong. We're talking about trends for 2020 when it comes to real estate. We got lots more to cover, and we're going to give away our real estate trivia prize when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from February 7th to 10th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 14 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year will likely beat it. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me February 7th through 10th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. And we'll have a very special guest. Super syndicator Dave Zook will join us to share how he's raised more than $150 million in the last 5 years and why he loves Belize. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, February 7th through 12th, 2020. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hello, everybody. David Stockman. I'm the author of the Contra Corner blog, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. If you want to discover a brand new real estate market in 2020, join me in February for our Belize Discovery Trip. It's an amazing place with all kinds of cool real estate opportunity. All the details are on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking about top trends for 2020, things that are going on in real estate and where there might be opportunity. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win an awesome prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, all you do is send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. First person with the right answer gets an inspiring book called Resilience, Turning Your Setback into a Comeback. It's a collection of great stories from awesome folks. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, it was our last show of the year, and we talked about gearing up for 2020. Here was our real estate trivia question. Which country is the first to observe the new year? Well, obviously, it's countries that are just past the international dateline, and the biggest country is probably Samoa. Christmas Island is there, the Chatham Islands. And we said any of those correct answers would get you the prize. Countries located just west of the international dateline are the first places on Earth to see each new day. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. How many acres are in a section? Yeah, land is divided in either hectares or acres, and depends on where you are and what the system is, but say in the United States, usually we buy property by the acre. Well, how many acres make up what they call a section? If you know, or want to look it up, or guess, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. You'll include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, so that if you're the winner, we can send you Resilience, Turning Your Setback into a Comeback. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about the top trends for real estate in 2020. What's happening and where is there opportunity for investors? Well, one of our favorite niches, if you will, is resort property. And resort property is interesting for a lot of reasons. Now, it's a broad category, right? There's spring break, on the cheap types of places to invest, and there's certainly opportunity there. We tend to like the higher end because of the multiplier effect. When people are willing to spend a lot of money to go on vacation, well, I'm happy to be in the receiving end of that. And as we've looked, there's a couple of different areas, right? It's hard to go out and buy a 400-room hotel. That's a really difficult thing for most people. But there are ways that people are investing in resort properties. There are a lot of properties that are sold under what we would call condo hotel, which kind of has a bad financing characteristic to it. But still, there are lots of opportunity where you can own an individual unit that operates as part of a big resort or a hotel. Also, there's the segment of vacation rentals. Now, this is an interesting segment. The idea that I go to a market where there's good hotel demand, I buy a little condo and I turn it into a nightly rental on VRBO or HomeAway or Airbnb. There's a lot of folks in that space, and there's good opportunity there, but we are, for the first time, I think, starting to see some real saturation. There's been some decline in occupancy in many key markets, and it's what happens anytime something works. Just like we see cap compression because a lot of investors are chasing multifamily, we see a lot of folks that go, hey, I'd love to have a little vacation condo that I could go spend time in and the rest of the time rent it out, and so many people bought that idea that it is overbuilt, if you will, in certain areas. Now, to your point, Russ, one of the great things about buying something like that is say you bought a little vacation condo and it was rocking for years and all of a sudden you're not seeing the occupancy. Well, that exact unit could be held as a month-to-month long-term rental. So it's not like you missed the mark. You just have a different way of articulating that piece of property into the market. But we are seeing that there are some areas where the vacation rental market is booming, and it's generally the lesser known area. We talked a few months back with our good friend Tim Hubbard, who has a couple of different markets he's in, and they aren't the major markets. They aren't the Orlando's and Los Angeles type of markets. They're more secondary and tertiary markets. So I think there's a great opportunity there.
Well, I think anytime you have these types of conversations, you have to try to glean some patterns and principles. And you mentioned a couple things there that I think are noteworthy. Anytime a niche gets hot, it gets crowded. That is even more true when the barrier to entry is low. And so if you can be an early adopter, that's great. And then when everybody else rushes in, you're riding that wave. If you're a little bit late to the party, you just need to be really careful because the lower the barrier to entry, the more potential competitors can enter the space. And you just need to make sure that the demand is really robust. One of the other ways to insulate yourself, as you mentioned, is the idea of having multiple exit strategies. And so we talked about that earlier, but just to highlight the point, if you buy a property that is only good for one thing and one demographic and one market condition, then you don't have very many people to help you out when any of those things go negative on you because it's going to be negative on them. But if you have something that can be used for different purposes, one of the reasons going back to residential assisted living is different than big box assisted living. A big box facility is used for one purpose and it's configured for that one purpose, whereas a residential assisted living home at its core is still a home. Just like a vacation rental that is a home or a condo at its core is still a residence and it doesn't need to be a vacation rental that can be used by people who want to own or occupy. So multiple exit strategies and be careful about low barrier to entry without really doing your homework on making sure you've got sustainable demand.
All right, good stuff. Hey, another interesting trend and one we see continuing to be strong, something we've been talking about for the last 5 or 6 years, and that's investing in agriculture. Now, this is a big diversion. We're used to, as real estate investors, we're used to having, you know, tenants stay in our property, whether they're retail tenants or commercial tenants or residential tenants. But agriculture is a whole different deal. And again, I think what's made it interesting to average investors is the fact that today you don't have to buy 1,000 acres. Today, there's lots of ways to come alongside successful operators and invest.
Well, and a lot of those opportunities, at least for American investors, are offshore. And there's some advantages to going offshore. Of course, there's some challenges, but I think that the advantages can outweigh those things. But the point is, you know, anybody that lives in a developed area, you know, Robert, you and I spent a lot of time in the San Francisco Bay Area, Silicon Valley, before it was Silicon Valley, when it was just Santa Clara Valley. And it was basically an orchard town. There was a lot of farming going on. And over time, those farms are all gone. Well, the production of those farms had to move someplace because the world needs more food than it did in the 70s, not less. And all that farmland that got displaced with real estate development for, you know, manufacturing companies and tech companies and all the housing to support the workers, all that production had to go someplace. The thing that's great about agriculture is, one is you can pretty much be assured that the underlying industry, the production of food for human beings and animals for that matter, is probably not going anywhere in the near future. I think probably like wanting a roof over your head, wanting food in your belly is going to be kind of a high demand thing going into the foreseeable future.
Well, and it is the calorie crunch. We're going to need more food and not less, as you mentioned. It's growing population. It is worldwide. And part of the reason that these particular opportunities tend to be offshore is that there are great areas where there's awesome fertile soil and low labor costs and lots of sunshine. And so if I'm in that business, I'm not looking based on the country it's in. I mean, certainly the laws and property rights are going to be important, but I'm looking a lot more at the soil and the environment. And as listeners probably know, I spent a week in Paraguay with some listeners. It was awesome. We had a great time. And it was astonishing to see this breadbasket of South America, if you will, where it's not really a tourism market. I mean, we stayed at a nice hotel, but there weren't too many hotels because there's not people that just go to visit Paraguay. It is all about agriculture and cattle. And really, really opened my eyes. We're going to have a lot more to share about that. In fact, we're going to do a show coming up this year specifically about why the opportunity makes such good sense there. But this is a trend we're keeping our eye on, and that is that agriculture has some pretty interesting returns. There's all kinds of different ways to plan it. For today, we'll leave it at that. But in the coming weeks, we'll be talking about different types of ways to get involved with that kind of investing. We're talking today about the top trends in real estate for 2020. We have more coming up. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend more than a week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins June 11th, 2020 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and get on the advance notice list. We'll spend 2.5 days on land, learning and networking, then jump aboard a luxury cruise ship for more classes, roundtable discussions, great dinner conversations, and a ton of fun. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to hang out with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 18th Annual Investor Summit at Sea.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry. Even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. And you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning in today. There's still time to join us, but not a lot. For Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, it happens the third weekend of January at Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. You can sign up, but you got to be quick. Go to the website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking today about real estate trends for the new year, and there's a bunch of them. We'll hit these last few kind of in rapid succession, but one is opportunity zones. We talked a lot about opportunity zones in 2019. This will be the year that opportunity zones flourish for lots of reasons.
Well, they just had the big deadline for the money to move, and I think a lot of money got moved. I think a lot of people were getting the infrastructure in place. The IRS finally issued the regulations, so now people kind of know what the lay of the land is. There's certainly been an awareness factor. There's still a lot of meat on the bone to take advantage of the tax breaks. So it's an opportunity, pun intended, for people to kind of ride a wave of huge amounts of capital moving into undervalued, underserved areas and elevating those areas, which is the entire purpose of the program.
Absolutely. We did several shows on Opportunity Zones last year, so go to the archives and check that out. But expect there to be a lot of movement and money there. And then the more it becomes mainstream and the more people understand it, the better. We'll be talking about it at the Secrets of Successful Syndication coming up in March. Speaking of which, the next big trend is the trend of syndication. And we've been obviously doing this and teaching it for many years. But we're seeing more and more folks come to the realization that together everyone achieves more. And the idea of not investing in just a specific property where 100% of the burden of the risk and the rewards are on your shoulders, but where you can kind of share the wealth and share the risk. And that's through both sides, active syndication and passive investing in real estate syndication.
Yeah, well, for you know, real estate investors, it gives you an opportunity to enter a sweet spot because we talked earlier about low barrier to entry. Most popular real estate investing programs out there are no money down. Hey, I want to be able to buy real estate with no money, no income, no credit, no skill, no brains, no work ethic. Well, that appeals to people watching late night TV that, you know, to somebody that's going to sell a promise that's bigger than the truth in order for you to part with your credit card. And I'm not saying all those programs are bad. I've bought and consumed quite a few of them, learned some things. But at the end of the day, when you have a barrier to entry, usually it means there's a little bit more meat on the bone. There's not quite as much competition. The problem is when you get to the great big funds, the REITs and things like that, there is so much administrative and compliance expense and layers of management and advertising and all kinds of overhead. What really trickles down to the investor is not much. And it's awfully hard to put those types of things together. Syndication, at least the way we teach it, you know, Main Street syndication is where you're doing these multi-million dollar deals, not billion dollar deals, not $100 million deals, but these, you know, multi-million, maybe $2, $3, $4, $5 million deals that mom and pop investors can't get in and get stupid and overbid, that you can run on a basically very lean management where you can go in and you can find deals because you're not competing on the low end and you're not competing on the high end. And yes, the space is getting a little bit more crowded, but there is an awful lot of real estate that fits into that spot, that sweet spot. And syndication is the way you get in the game, whether you come in as an investor and let somebody else do the sweat work, or whether you're the person who puts a thing together and goes out and solicits the investors and puts their money to work for them. Either way, you get a chance to be in a part of the real estate price point where there's a lot of meat on the bone.
If you like the idea of passively investing with someone who really knows what they're doing, or if you've reached that stage in your career that you could do more deals if you had access to more capital, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. It happens in March in Dallas, Texas. Twice a year we do this event, and we'd love to see you there. The people that show up are amazing. It's one of our favorite events just because of the caliber of Real Estate Guys listeners. So if you've been, well, you might want to come back. A lot of people do that. If you haven't been, come on out. Registration is open. Hey, a couple of the trends in commercial real estate. We're seeing a big trend towards smart buildings. Now, smart buildings are, you know, part of the whole Internet of Things and leasing to folks, and there's AI, and there's a lot that's involved with this. But 70% of respondents surveyed in Deloitte's 2020 Commercial Real Estate Outlook, 70% say that it's an increasingly important element in enhancing tenant and end-user experiences is smart buildings, and yet less than one-fifth of buildings today are smart buildings. So I don't know how much that's going to affect individual investors, but it's certainly a trend. We're also seeing the big, big, big trend of logistics. You talked about that, Russ, earlier, the idea that people aren't getting in their car and going to the mall as often as they used to buy everything. I mean, just this year alone, the deliveries to doorsteps were huge, and logistics is becoming even more important. That affects industrial real estate, commercial real estate, office real estate, and retail real estate.
Well, the thing that we love about that is it's geographic, because those distribution centers have to be near the population centers. They have to be strategically located. Those aren't jobs that can be outsourced. And so those properties are valuable because of location, location, location. And a lot of them are in locations that nobody would ever think of to vacation or to live in, or maybe even to work in terms of, you know, certain types of businesses, but they're perfect for distribution centers. And they can be put out, in some cases, in very affordable places with big chunks of land. And then they literally create the infrastructure or the critical mass to grow up secondary and tertiary jobs around them. So, you know, these are things that you can see coming if you're paying attention, because these things don't just pop up overnight. They have to be approved. They're planned. That's why there was so much speculation on what Amazon was going to do and where they were going to end up. So this is something that, you know, you can pay attention to, especially if you live in an area that you think has a lot of open space that is strategically located near large population centers.
Yeah. And, you know, part of it is with these big trends like this one in the last couple. It isn't that you just go, oh, well, I'm not going to invest in that. There's a much bigger picture here, and that is you don't have to be the person putting in a $10 billion distribution hub. But if you know that's coming, that is serious real estate infrastructure. Ask yourself how you can come alongside that and participate in any of these big trends. It creates opportunity. We talked about that when we talked about opportunity zones. Doesn't mean the only opportunity is directly in an opportunity zone. When that happens, you're going to see more jobs. You're going to see more business. Perhaps there's opportunity to house those people. So keeping track of the trends isn't just about directly investing in that niche. It's about understanding where dollars flow in real estate. And the great thing about real estate is it's easy to see with your own eyes. You can tell when you go into a market. You can feel the vibrancy. You can see what's happening, where the cranes are, what's getting built, what companies are coming. Talk to the local chambers of commerce. They really understand who's coming and why and what the attraction is to that market. And then you ask yourself, maybe there's a way I can play in that space, or maybe I can figure out from a real estate perspective how to serve the needs of those people. That's what gets exciting in real estate. We're looking forward to a fabulous 2020. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Next week on the show, we have an amazing guest, one of our great friends. He's brilliant. He's a scientist, and he's going to blow you away. That's Dr. Chris Martinson.
Yeah, this is one that's exciting because Chris is a guy that is a researcher, a lot like G. Edward Griffin, a guy that we like. They dig into things, and Chris pays attention to three different things, and this one has to do with economics. And right now, we've commented on this show in the past about the Fed's activity in the bond markets and the monetization and repos. And what's been going on is the Fed has been very, very active as of late. And some people are saying they're actually monetizing the debt. Now, that may or may not mean anything to you, but it does have an impact on interest rates, on the value of the dollars that you work so hard to earn and save and invest. And so this is going to be a show that we're super excited because Chris has been kind of on the front end of paying attention to this trend. And we're going to talk to him about what's happening, maybe why it's happening, but certainly what the potential ramifications of it are for investors of all stripes, including real estate investors.
That's next week on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys radio show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys radio show.